Hello, and welcome to episode 209 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and I'm here with the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
The bearded Mekon that is Tony Esmond.
Do you remember Pinky and the Brain? They were
yes.
good.
Yeah.
My dog looks like the Brain, I think.
I think that's a good
description. Well, you know what that makes you?
Pinky.
Yep.
I've never seen the cartoon. Was he quite cool?
Yes. just tell him yes.
I thought of myself more as the Betty Rubble of the group.
Yeah. You know? It's like in space when they say, is Jabba the Princess? Yes. I haven't had a space reference on this show for quite some time. Anyway, and this week we're also joined by artist, Twin Peaks aficionado, Nicolas Cage ambassador, and all-round top creator, Rachel Lee Carter. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Rachel.
Hiya, you all right?
RLC yes. in the house. I only refer to you as RLC when I message you now. I like it.
I call you Big Tone. Is that all right?
Good one.
Yeah.
RLC and Big Tone. What is this? Like now that's what I call music, volume 4.
We've stopped taking a Walkman for about a year. Great stuff now.
Well, we are the Stock Aitken and Waterman of podcasts, aren't we?
Right. Who's that ginger girl? Who's the ginger woman? The Scouser?
Sonia.
Sonia.
Yeah, I'd go on a date with her. I quite liked her.
Back in the day.
Okay.
So if anyone out there wants to know what we're talking about, just get in touch with us online and Tony will clear it all up.
I'll send you pictures of me on a date with Sonia.
I'd love to see a huge online social media thread of this.
I dropped another great... I do a Follow Friday thing, which always makes me chuckle, because I always drop a strange character.
Let's talk about this, because I haven't done a Follow Friday for quite some time. Are they still a thing?
I don't know. They probably stopped doing one, because I did it.
Who was it you dropped in there?
Jane McDonald, singing superstar. Singing sensation Jane McDonald.
Do you actually follow her?
I do now, actually. I retweeted her this morning just to cheer myself up.
Did she say thanks for including me?
No, she's the only person who didn't, which I found strange.
Oh, well, that's unbelievable.
Rude.
Oh, what a bitch.
She could have replied with some sort of amusing gift of
the woman up in an ivory tower.
Yeah, the woman who played Cat Slater liked it when I put her in it.
Jesse Wallace.
Jesse Wallace, she's quite good.
I would have thought you'd know that, Tony, with your history of comic books.
My history with Cat Slater?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't talk about that one.
No, we can't, can we? So many mysteries that you'll have to ask Tony face-to-face at a show. Because only
John Tucker knows that one, and he and I will never speak of it.
Yeah. Good old John Tucker. He's getting a mention every week now, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
He's not paying us.
He's very good on that Why Comics podcast.
That's a good one. Both of those shows have been bangers. The one with you and then John. Really enjoyed them.
Have you ever been called a banger before, Tony?
No, it's been given as an instruction.
That may be the greatest thing I've heard in 2019. I'm using that. That's quality.
Thank you.
Do you know what else is quality?
Oh, it's Comic House.
It is indeed. Our sponsor's Comic House. Yes, they are the indie comic marketplace with a difference. And there's tons of bangers on their website.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. On the website itself, there's a huge selection of titles on their database. And if you self-publish and you have hard copies of your books, you can list your book on there for free and start selling straight away. They have a features section on their site, and they also have their own app, which is like Netflix for comics. And what they're updating it all the time. What have they got on there at the moment, Dan?
Well, this week they're featuring the Great Big Comic Scene Annual 2019. It's 320 pages of amazing comics, including To the Death, which we had Simon and Jeff on from last week's show.
I went to the exhibition of that this week.
I'm planning to go to that because it looks good.
There's some Dragon's Claws stuff up.
Nice.
Death Head. There's all sorts of stuff in that. Yeah, it looks good. Nice to see it close up, as the actress said to the bishop.
God, it's going to be one of those weeks, isn't it? Yeah. But the coloured work looks really nice in that sort of orbital gallery.
Yeah, it does, actually. Yeah, it does. There's not enough of it on sale. I would consider buying a page, actually, but there wasn't enough on sale.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What I was saying last week, a lot of people were saying it's their private collection that they're just happy to exhibit.
Oh, okay, that's nice. Nice.
Yeah, so there's so many titles in that comic, I can't read all of them out. But I can, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
So if you want to read them out, go onto the Comic House app, and it's down. It's there for download.
Exactly. Yes, and there's a 14-day free trial if you want to check it out. And if you want a subscription, it's only £3 a month, which is fantastic value, and you get access to an enormous library of digital indie comics, which is growing all the time. It's not like Netflix where, you know, when you want to see the film that you've seen it on Netflix for ages, the week that you want to watch it, it disappears.
I didn't know they did that till recently.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll tell them the Comic House app. Sugarcane is number one. Nicely done.
That. Yeah. Nice.
Nicely done, Kev.
Yeah.
That only means
one thing, though. We want more of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I did see Red Mask is creeping up the charts.
Vanguard's top five. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So two in the top 10 you got. Oh, mate, you'll be a millionaire by the weekend.
unrelated to Comic House, but yeah.
Yeah. But we can't talk about that, though, can we, Dan?
No. Ongoing legal proceedings.
But we can talk about Comic House, and you should definitely check them out. And find out more at comichouse.com. So there you go. That was a fairly accident-free sponsorship ad.
Yeah,
I bet
it was. Did that right.
Just repeat that every week.
Yeah. So I just take that bit of audio and do it every week.
Yeah. You know, they have these like recorded adverts in a lot of these things. I was listening to that David Tennant podcast, and he advertises, I don't know, suitcases or something in the middle of it. And it's the same one every time. And I downloaded about six of them to listen to. And I had to listen to this sort of minute long advert that did my Sweden.
What do you listen to it on, though? Do you listen to it on an app that where you can forward like a certain section of time?
Well, I have it played through the car. So I suppose I could just sort of go to that. Because I got a car, you plug your phone in and the phone comes up on the little television
nice.
Thing. You know, so you can do it. It just means fanning around.
Yeah. Well, hopefully no one's skipping any of our show.
What
there should be, I should edit a cut there, shouldn't I? So it sounds like
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Yeah.
When we get guests on, we should have people saying, my favourite podcast is The Awesome Comic. You know, they're really cheesy things.
Yeah.
You can drop them in when we got to do a rough edit.
Yeah.
It's not too much edit in our show. It's liquid gold, isn't it?
Exactly.
So. Pretty much. But let's try one out. Rachel, give us a sound bite.
Oh.
Brilliant.
That'll do. Nice. Yeah. I now understand the term liquid gold. I thought it meant something else, but no.
No, I'm not asking.
No, I was thinking of poppers for some reason.
Poppers?
Poppers,
Do we need to talk? Is this going to be an intervention, Rachel? Do we need to...
No. episode started really...
Gold. I thought that's what they were called.
What?
Could like, be.
What is poppers? Liquid Mr. Gold. Popper's Penguins.
do we really want to get into this conversation? Go on. What are you talking about, Rachel?
Poppers.
Like party poppers?
No.
I've been feeling
Tony's being willfully obtuse.
Of course he is.
Do you mean amyl nitrate?
Were they called liquid gold? I don't know.
No, that's another one. That's like, remember in the 80s, all the blokes had, was it stud spray? Someone told them he sprayed it on him. Remember that stuff?
No.
Have you got boxes of it? I mean, you say it's a comics room, but you're surrounded by boxes of this stuff, aren't you, Tony?
Yeah. I'm just like a cloud of poppers wandering around.
Your own brand, Pink Steel.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's more sort of dark brown now. I'm in my 50s. Oh. Sorry. Oh, my God. How did it go there?
So now it's just called copper wiring. But this is the show where we talk about comic books.
I'm so proud of me describing my own knob on a podcast with a lady.
About your knob, I thought you were talking about a brand of poppers.
And you know what? None of this is an outtake. This is actually the show. I'm not quite sure.
This is how it goes.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the greatest. This is going to be one of the greatest hits. This show, isn't it?
This will be up there by the Peach Stone episode.
Yeah. still a classic, and we're all going to hell for it. But this, yeah, of course. So let's get back onto comics, because obviously we've got a guest this week.
Yes.
And yeah, who's going to talk about art, and we're going to talk about zines, and a bit about an upcoming event, which a lot of our listeners probably know about, but we're going to talk about a bit more. But Rachel, you've just started appearing on podcasts, haven't you?
Yeah. How have you been on?
One. This one's the second one.
This is the second one.
Yeah.
So, how are you finding it? Yeah. We weren't the first choice, obviously. You know.
But you would have been, but you forgot.
What the fuck? That was.
Oh no.
Tony said he was going to do the interview in Nottingham, which last year, and then he forgot, and I didn't want to beg. So.
No, I'm sorry. I was having a bit of a stressful day.
You were really busy, so. That's fine.
I didn't know about this, Tony.
I said, let's do an interview, and then I'd give Hamish a lift, and then I was like running the table. Then we had Luke arrive, and I had to do like a panel with him, and then sort of the world took over. And then I couldn't hang about because Hamish wanted to get going. So otherwise, I would have.
It shows. It is crazy getting interviews like during a convention, is it?
You know, I'm very sorry, Rachel.
Yeah, it's all right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She's here now. You know, rather than
is this okay?
What?
Yeah.
That was forced.
Is everything I expected and more?
As you can tell,
we went around the comic mart together, and I met your friend who was in the band with you, didn't I?
Delia.
She was very cool.
Great. Yeah. Oh,
so we'll probably touch on your musical endeavours.
Soon enough.
But before that. For those who don't know about Rachel's work, she exploded onto our scene as soon as we saw the zine that was Nicolas Cage Actor for Hire, which is still one of my favourites.
Yep.
And we automatically knew that, you know, she was going to be our friend. but for those who don't know, like, tell us a bit about like the sort of work that you do and how you actually got started. Because I know you've been on another podcast, but you know, we'll put a link to that later, but some people may not listen. So for our listeners, tell us a bit more about your background.
Okay. So I'm not very good at drawing. You know that because you've read my books.
No, get off.
I always have ideas for things and I always want to do things, and I've done blogs and stuff, and I think Tony knows, I've spoken to Tony about this before. I used to run a Klaus Kinski website.
Yeah.
It didn't have anything to do with comic books, but it was a way of I interviewed loads of people who worked with Klaus Kinski and planned to watch all of his films, which nobody knows how many he did because it was probably about 200 or something.
There's some crazy little entries in that genre of movie, isn't there?
And he was a great actor and everything, but then, you know,
I think you and I both agreed on this, is we were like agog about how great he was, and quite possibly one of the greatest actors ever.
Yeah.
You know? And then certain elements of his past came out.
Yes, they did.
We both went, it's the same way I feel about Woody Allen. I just can't, you know, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that, but I'm going to put it aside now.
And that's something that I know has crept up recently in some of your current work as well, Rachel, but we'll get on to that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I've always been a bit of a hero worshipper as well, you see.
Right.
So I really like people's work or something, and I think, oh, they're fab, and I want everyone else to know about them. And then, unfortunately, they do something mean or really downright disgusting, and then everything you've done, you just think, oh, okay, I can't do that anymore. So Nicolas Cage needs to be really good.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Separating the
artist from the art, though, is a difficult thing, isn't it? I know we all say, well, you shouldn't, but sometimes it's not that easy, is it? You know?
Well, and I didn't want to be the person that had to justify why I was saying this person's work's really good with Klaus.
Yeah.
And I was actually getting, despite the fact that I closed the website down almost immediately, I didn't post anything else. I did, actually, the last post was to say, I'm not going to do this anymore because of the news that's come out and stuff. But some people didn't even look at that. They just send a nasty message saying, oh, you're disgusting running a website about this guy. It's like, well, you know, I don't know.
So, I mean, there are. I've read his autobiography. I read that a couple of years ago, and that's quite an eye opener. But there's nothing like that in it that I can recall.
But at the same time, I just thought he was lying. I just thought.
Being
ignorant. What did this chap do?
His daughter made allegations against him.
Oh, okay.
But obviously, he's dead now, so he's not there to defend.
And long dead. When did he die? Was it the 90s? Was it?
Yeah, it might have been early 90s or something, or maybe even late 80s. I can't remember now. I did know when I was a big Klaus Kinski fan. But, so it really soured things for me. I've kind of managed to come back to him a little bit now because I didn't watch any of his films for ages. Because it made me too upset to think, you know, I'd invested a lot in liking him and his work. But it's quite hard. And then, you know, I thought I needed something else to do. Because I'd spent a lot of time and effort, and I was quite sad I didn't have that to do anymore. So on the side, I've got this Jane Birkin project I'm working on, which is something else. And I thought, oh, Nicolas Cage, I love Nicolas Cage, and he's great in a kind of Klaus Kinski kind of way.
Crazy genius.
I just need him to be good. That's all.
I think knowing of him as little as I do, I think he'll find that hard. So I think maybe there's a possibility something wrong might happen, but he's pretty good at the moment. You know,
I think he's badly behaved, but I don't necessarily think he's a perv.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line. I don't mind like
he might be in a nice pervy way, but not a bad pervy way.
I don't mind his usual antics, and the fact that he was like a really big comic collector is a big pro for us as well.
I think a lot of his crazy, for want of a better term, is fairly sort of open and out there. One of the things I do love about Nicolas Cage, and I do really love some of his films.
Red leather trousers?
Apart from that, those sort of Elvis sunglasses he was rocking during the Mandy promo tour were absolutely phenomenal. But it's just the fact that he'll do all these... There's a point where he knows what he's doing. When you listen to him talk, you think, oh, you've thought about this.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes... Leaving Las Vegas is an amazing performance.
He's such a great actor.
Yeah.
He really is. And I know he's not everybody's cup of tea, but he really is a good actor.
Yeah.
And have you seen the film, the religious one?
No.
Left Behind.
No, I've heard about this. It's one where he's a pilot, I mean, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible. And how he manages to puts in a good performance, but he's not got anything to work with. So he can't even really be Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
But it's awful film. And yet he tries really hard. And you're like, why would you bother? You know, because he'd get paid anyway. But of course, he does take pride in his work.
He's been in some straight to DVD like stuff that you see a lot of our favorite 80s action stars, maybe, you know, you're seeing a lot of straight to DVD stuff, and they're just phoning it in, you know, they're pretty much faxing it in. But at least Nicolas Cage, I mean, I haven't seen all of his films, but you know, most of the time he's putting in some sort of effort. It's just
you've got to work hard to see all of his films, because
he's now.
Is he? Yeah. I saw you post that. Is there anything to do with... Isn't he got to do everything he's offered or something in some agreement with...
Yeah. I thought it was the IRS.
That's it, yeah.
He got sort of... Yeah, but he's not... Boy.
He's not bankrupt. He's, I'm sure it said something like he's worth about 27 million or something. And it's like, that's not enough for him, you know?
No. But then when everyone thinks he's sort of down and out, there's like a film like Mandy comes along.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and just becomes a critical hit, you know, out of nowhere, and he gets a little.
And let's
resurgence.
Not forget, he's also Ghost Rider. He's part of our world.
Yeah.
Have you seen that documentary, The Life and Death of Superman?
I haven't seen that yet.
Yes, I haven't seen it yet.
Seen
no.
It.
After hearing about Nicolas Cage Superman and seeing that one photo, I was like, no interest in this. And after seeing that documentary, I was like, I want to see this.
Really?
It looks fantastic. Yeah, it looked really good.
Yeah, the people who made it did a thing at Orbital, didn't they? They did a talk at Orbital a few years ago.
Okay.
They were telling me about it. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Bonkers, but
yeah.
But he didn't do an interview for it, did he? Yeah, perhaps he was too sad. because he really wanted to do that. So they just had some footage from the time when he was trying on the costume and it looked amazing. Yeah.
And let's not forget, he is Nicolas Cage because he's a comic fan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because for anyone that doesn't know, he's actually Nicolas Coppola. Am I right in saying that?
That's right, yeah.
And he couldn't use that name, so he chose Nicolas Cage after Luke Cage. So he's like, and he had like one of the best comic collections in the world, didn't he, at one point, I think.
Yeah.
And comics worth millions, didn't they? But he had to sell them on, like, all the properties he had in Bath and everything. Mm.
There was a photo of him at a Comic Con that was online past week.
Oh, just going through back issues.
Yeah.
He's been at New York and stuff, hasn't he? Shopping there, I think. Yeah.
And Nick, if you're listening, we'll have you as a guest anytime.
Yeah.
Surprised he never tried to get into one, doing one. I wonder if that's ever happened.
What do you mean?
Make a comic himself.
He has made a comic himself.
Okay.
Yeah, with his son. Yeah, they made a comic. Oh, my God, now I can't remember what it's called, can I? Do you know what? I didn't like it. And it was the artwork, but the artwork was nothing to do with Nicolas Cage or his son.
Right.
But the artwork I just hated, and so it kind of put me off. So it was about... it was set in New Orleans, which is a place he seems to really like. And it was quite dark. And the story itself was fine. There was nothing wrong with that. And they wrote the story, but the guy who did the artwork, I'm sorry to say, really not my cup of tea.
Oh, you know who it was?
Voodoo Child.
Voodoo Child.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Dean Harapet.
Okay.
I don't really know the guy.
No, I'm not sure he is.
I'm sorry to say, because I'm not very good at drawing, but I didn't like his drawing either. Sorry.
That's all right. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so how did that...
That ruined it for me.
So how did that translate from liking a movie star and being keen on movies to producing your own sort of comics and zines and stuff?
I think because I'm a big fan of things, and I thought it'd be nice, and I got this idea... because of Luke Cage, because I knew about the Luke Cage thing. That I would do Nick Cage actor for hire, and have him on the cover and just do pictures of him in each of his films. And so, you know, I've put out volume one, but there's got to be loads more volumes.
Yeah, it'd
really
be like 10 volumes, isn't there?
I started work on volume two, and that's going to be the good cop, bad cop issue. So
I love the idea. I love the idea of there being several volumes of this, because, like you say, he's got a hefty back catalogue.
Yeah.
But every issue having almost some kind of theme.
It won't, because I mean the first one didn't have a theme. It was just loads of.
I can't remember. Is that like Wild at Heart and, you know, the early stuff? Was it, you know, Moonlight and Kiss the Vampire and all that sort of thing? Is it?
No, I didn't do Wild at Heart in that one. Wild at Heart. In that one there was Xander Lee. There was you must have seen that one where he's in is it in Hong Kong? I think
Bangkok Dangerous.
We've spoken about.
Bangkok Dangerous.
Oh, that's just
The Rock.
Did you like it?
That's the one with the messed up cover, isn't it? When he's got the broken hand going into the jacket.
Yeah. And he's got the slick black hair.
What's the 3D one he did? Is it Drive Angry or what was
that? Drive Angry. Yeah, I like that
that's,
one as
yeah,
well.
That's great.
Crazy.
That's great though.
And what else did I cover? I covered Moonstruck. The one where he's with Cher.
Moonstruck.
I love that film. I really like that film. I saw that in the pictures, that film.
That, it's good, isn't it?
That was on Netflix. I know when we put it on, Joe, I'd never seen it before. And the Nicolas Cage scenes, it's worth watching just for those scenes. Because it is absolutely phenomenal. Especially he has a scene. He's a one-handed man who has...
He's a pizza chef.
Works in a bakery.
He works in a bakery and he's got a fake wooden hand. And he does a monologue about how he's so sad about his hand and stuff. It has to be seen to be believed. And he just does these weird choices. Like, he sweeps a chair off her feet at one point. He just picks her up. And he's walking towards the camera. And she goes, "Where are we going?" And he just screams, "To the bed!" And it's like, what?
You've copied that. You've used that. That's part of your repertoire.
Who hasn't? Who hasn't?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. it works with Nicolas Cage, because that bit where he's outside with her and she's like, oh, no, no, I can't go out with you, I'm getting married to your brother. And he's like, get up those stairs and get into my bedroom. And she's like, okay.
That's my second favourite Cher movie after Mamma Mia 2.
Oh, really? I was always a fan of Mask.
Yeah, where are the cars in it and all that sort of thing? Do you know what I mean?
What, in Mask?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The transforming cars.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, deviated quite a lot from the source material on that one.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
I was thinking, well, why isn't his face green?
Don't. Santa Mask.
Yeah. Oh, I really want all our listeners to be, like, looking up Google right now.
What the fuck are they talking about? They're going, like, what has happened here?
Oh dear. Yeah, so Nicolas Cage, actor for hire, which is it's not like a sequential book as such, is it? It's more of a zine. You found yourself in the zine realm rather than the sequential realm, didn't you?
I do, because I can't draw really, so that makes it a little bit difficult.
Yeah, stop. Is that right? I'm going to have to ban you from saying that, because you've drawn something for me and it's brilliant, but, and I don't want you know.
And I have a piece of her artwork literally on one of our shelves at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. But Tony's seen Murder in France, which is my first book, which is Learn How to Speak French Using Pop Culture References.
Available in Autumn Comics,
as we speak.
You will
have noticed in that book, Tony,
yeah,
there are only faces. There's a reason for that. I can't draw bodies. Well,
that's
I can't draw
need.
Faces either.
That's
but
all you need. There's a lot of floating heads, Marvel Bronze Age.
Yeah, I was about to say, you could have been a cover artist in the Bronze Age. That would be.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so my first book was A Murder in France, which was just a silly thing, because I was thinking, I just think quite often, I can speak French. I'm not fluent, but I love French films, French music, all sorts of things. I read comics in French as well. And I thought, I know loads of French words that remind me of things in English. So I just started thinking of, it started off with Jean Aymar. So I thought of Johnny Marr from The Smiths, which brings me on to the next. So after that, here's some pop culture references, learn how to speak some French phrases.
Before we get on to the tawdry subject of Morrissey, I just ask you this question then? How do you, and it's something that's popped up a couple of times recently in a different sort of couple of different areas, but certainly on our Facebook group, is what is the difference between a comic and a zine to you?
To me?
Yeah.
Well, zines, they can be personal. I mean, I'm not saying you can't have a personal comic, of course. You can have a personal comic.
Yeah.
But it's not so much about sequential art in zines. Mm. They might be illustrated, and zines actually might not be illustrated at all. It could just be poetry, or it could be pictures that are photographed, that kind of thing. But in terms of my zines, they're zines, really, because they're not... the guy at Page 45, I'm from Nottingham originally, and I thought, oh, the guy at Page 45 has been there for donkey's years.
Yeah,
I thought, oh, the
Steve
guy
Holland.
At Page 45 will take some of my books. And he just replied saying, I don't really know what this is. I deal in comics, and I don't really know what this is. And I thought, you bastard.
I know Steve a little bit, and I think he's prone to... a sharp turn of phrase that is often humorous, but you don't quite see it that way. But
But anyway, they're not. It's not. He was looking for sequential art, sequential comics.
But a lot of zines
was looking for a story.
A lot of zines do have sequential art as part of them, don't they?
Sometimes, they do.
You know,
but he obviously didn't see mine as having that, and
And
he was suggesting that the Murder in France book, which was taken by Gosch and Orbital, and also by Rough Trade. He was suggesting that they should go in like an educational bookshop. don't think so. So I was quite hurt by that. All those years of going in Page 45 and him shouting, this book's great! Things like that. That's what he does.
There was a message on Twitter. Charles H. Raymond said, what size is a zine?
Size you like.
Mm, as I thought.
A zine doesn't really...
It's kind of a new phrase, isn't it? It's I suppose it's probably goat back donkey's years. But it's more it's more common now, I would say. It's I think often it's like there's a number of different things. For me, it's just a mixture of all different things put in. It's almost like a fan club magazine crossed with maybe like an autobiography or something.
I mean,
but it's also it's also something that people like to say. You remember when graphic novels started and everyone said, oh, I don't read graphic novels. I won't make comics. I make graphic novels. There's kind of a little bit of that now with zines, isn't
there? Okay.
Oh, it's more of a zine fair. It's not more of it. It's not really a comic fair. You know, you're like, okay, yeah, it's one of those. I'll go with it because it sells comics. But do you know what I mean? It's like,
I know what you're saying, but I was talking to Vince and Pete Taylor about Swansea. There's all these different. There's a lot of events that are comics and zines, which is nice because you get a mixture. Mm. You can have all sorts of things there.
Yeah, hang on.
But I was at the Swansea one, and they did actually have performance artists there. And I really enjoyed the event, but it was like I did not feel comfortable.
So
I was, because everything I do is just silly, and this was totally serious, and it was about toxic masculinity and all sorts. And I was like a little bit embarrassed.
I saw some video footage of a zine fair recently where some people were doing a sort of strange sort of clappy dance thing, and I'm like, oh, if I was sitting there,
we're saying it's that bloke with the Jedi coming up to you and all that stuff.
Leave me alone.
I've got like a crippling secondhand embarrassment as well.
I have.
If I saw someone doing that, I'd be like, oh, I'm dying, please.
It's like as if it's happened to me. I can even see like a somebody busking in the street, and I get so embarrassed. I think I'm going to cry.
Or karaoke's worse for that. If you've got that, never go to a karaoke bar. Transplants itself into me, and I'm like, this is awful.
Yeah.
I know you like Billy Bragg, mate, but that's just that one makes me.
Oh, dear. But yeah, back to zines. I think with zines, there's a certain. There's a certain freedom to them, isn't there, really? Because a comic...
It can be anything.
They can be anything, and a lot of the time they are, in terms of quality as well.
But that's what's exciting about it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, there was the first event that I went to, because I've been to loads of comic fairs and zine fairs over the years, but the first event I actually sold my books at was an event in South London, and it was the most enormous zine fair I've ever seen, and in this big warehouse, and it was amazing. And I spent so much money, but you could find a zine about anything.
Think what was that, RLC?
You just never imagine. God, why can't I remember who put that on? I don't know if they're still doing it anymore.
I don't know about that one.
It was absolutely amazing. And there were comics as well. But you could get zines about radios, zines about somebody's band where they were, you know, where they cross-dressed. And I just thought all sorts of different things. It was just anything. Bands, Polish music, just everything. And it was just, you could find anything you wanted and more.
I mean, here's a question for the group, as it were.
No.
And this, there may be controversy in it. Who knows? Nice. Yeah, you like a bit of controversy, don't you?
I do, mate.
Now we have like comic conventions, comic festivals, and there's zine fairs and stuff. Now, this is only from my experience, but whenever I've been to a zine fair, they're usually pretty packed. You know, there's lots of different stuff there, but I've been quite impressed by the turnout to things that call themselves zine fairs, more so than some comic conventions. Now, if I was to put it in black and white, I would say that zine, and this isn't necessarily what I think, by the way, you could say zine fairs are more popular or easily accessible for the public, the general public, than a comic convention. Discuss. Do you think there's some truth in that? A zine?
I think so at the moment, mate. Yeah, I think so in relation to certain areas.
Yeah,
I think. I hate to bang on about Nobra again, but El Caf was popular because it contains part of that crowd as well.
Yeah,
you know, I love El Caf, but it's, I think it's the fashion. I genuinely think zine fairs are seen as cooler.
Yeah, and do you think there's a certain public perception of? We've talked about how the term means nothing, but a comic convention. You know, when people put comics into it, the general public, especially. You know, if I say. I like comics. Oh, do you read the Beano? Not that there's anything wrong with the Beano.
Or what do you dress up as is the current one.
There's a stigma with the word comic that zines, and especially when you call it a zine fair, for instance, it almost becomes, you know, because things like craft fairs and things like that are quite big within the public, aren't they? They're always popular. Do you think zine fairs have that sort of advantage, in a sense, over comic
conventions? I think some things are popular, aren't they? Like, for example, baking shows, you know, like I remember, like Zumba filled out the XL Centre one year because Zumba was cool at the time. You know what I mean?
I was there that year at the at that comic fair.
Yeah, it was on the other side of the aisle, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Hold on, are you telling me Zumba's not cool anymore?
No, get rid of those trousers.
Oh dear. What am I going to do with all these pop socks?
It may be. You're right with that. The kind of like comics are kind of very much in the kind of with the films and stuff, but that doesn't really translate to the actual comic books. And there's always going to be something trendy about making zines and being a bit arty, whereas that comic book stuff, you never really had that.
Yeah,
I think they're a little bit anti-establishment, aren't they, as well, zines?
Zines
a little bit, I don't want to say left-wing, that's the wrong thing to say, but a bit hippy-dippy, aren't they?
I mean, if you put it like this, just say you get one of those, and we've all seen them when the local news or like the national news, they do like some sort of an article about a comic convention, just sort of say, and you know what the presentation's going to be, and it always makes you sort of just grimace and die a little bit inside. But how would they do it? A zine fair, for instance, they wouldn't handle it the same, would they?
No, it'd be in the Guardians Art section.
I'm
pretty sure the Guardians Art section have done articles about them, you know.
Yeah, they would have the rise of the zine.
But they'd be it'd be respectful, not like Zap Pal comic convention.
Well, I think, don't they mention things that are actually like properly published rather than the zine? So
could well do,
again,
yeah.
It's like they've got the not really the wrong end of the stick, because I'm not saying you can't have a professionally, but there's a wide spectrum. And there is in comic books, and I think it's a bit of a problem. And if I say I like comics, people think you mean the Beano or whatever.
Or like Superman or things like that.
Yeah.
Or they think Superman,
I think zines are seen as, and you can have this within comics, you can have this within anything, are seen as a bit more experimental than other things as well, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. And it's kind of anything goes, and you can go to a zine fair and you'll find a book about vaginas, and then you'll find something silly like...
Hold on. Where?
Break.
And how much?
Handbrake on.
No, seriously, you do. And I bought...
Is it a pop-up?
I'd be surprised if you didn't find a book about that.
I bought a book about moon cups for... my friends Nick and Nini, who will be at BAM anyway, but my friend Nick and Nini, we used to have these conversations about moon cups and how we kind of thought, what an idea. And
I've only learned this term recently, Tony. So for those viewers or listeners at home who don't know necessarily something about it, this isn't Urban Dictionary, but Rachel Lee Carter is about to tell you what exactly a moon cup is.
Oh, it's some plastic kind of thing that looks like a teat, and ladies use it instead of sanitary towels or what have you, or tampons.
Hashtag, you're welcome.
To collect the blood. Yeah, there you go. The blood all drips into it, and then you empty it. It looks like a cup of wine, and you have to take it to the sink and wash it out. Which
do you
just,
what I love about this?
How do you do these things?
This is the quietest I've heard Tony and Dan in quite some time.
You're going to have to give me a minute.
And you wash it out. Like, I don't know. I don't understand. But anyway, apparently they hurt as well, because sometimes the bit that sticks out sticks.
Jesus Christ!
So, I just googled that. I saw this.
Why do you Google things, Dan? Why do you Google them?
I just had to get a picture of it in my head, what we're talking about. Is that okay?
And these are, you can buy these things. They're not like in weird shops.
These things.
Yeah. You can buy them like Tesco's or something.
You can buy them at earthmother.ie.
I'm not putting that in the show notes, by the way.
Because what happened was, I was talking to Nini about Moonstruck, the film with Cher and Nicolas Cage, where I said, oh, you know, Nicolas Cage has got love bites, or Cher's got love bites from Nicolas Cage, or what have you. She's like, no, you're making that up. What's it called? Moon Cup? And I was like, no, it's not called Moon Cup.
Yeah, I've just Googled it too.
I saw this zine about Moon Cups at Swindon Zine Fair, and I thought, I've got to buy it. So I bought it for Nick and Nini, and they saw the funny side.
I always, rightly or wrongly, I always presumed, I haven't been to a zine fair in years and years, because my mate Mark used to do them, but I always thought there was a bit of Nathan Barley.
You've not been because your friend Mark does
them. No, my mate Martin used to do them, because he's like a fine artist, and he used to do them years ago, but I haven't been since then. I always thought they were a bit Nathan Barley-esque. Is that still the case, or not?
A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. There's a bit of everything. Yeah, so there's people who do political stuff, quite serious stuff, issue-based stuff, and there's, at the moment, there's lots of stuff about gender around at the moment, and that kind of thing. But at the same time, there's lots of silliness. There's people who do sort of comic-y type zines, so it's everything. But
yeah, I've done a zine. Yeah, I think I did that Sin zine, didn't I, with Mr. Harrower?
Yeah.
That's it's just a sort of more homemade, I suppose. I kind of see it as,
And also, it's like Nick Prolick says about me, lo-fi DIY.
Yeah.
I think he says that about your comics, not about you. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's almost like that sort of homemade sort of putting together a book and stapling it at home, you know the long arm stapler and something like that.
Yeah.
That seems to have been sort of embraced more by the zine world. It's almost like comics
now. Well, we've grown out of it. It's the comics world.
Yeah, in a sense, especially with, like, you know, printing has moved on as such, and and people have moved on to that they've stepped away from making these small. I'm not saying everyone has before anyone jumped down the throat, you know, a lot of people have moved away from, you know, the long arm stapler, making a little comic themselves, and that seems to be more the zine crowd, doesn't it? But was that wrong in saying that?
No, yeah, I think you're right, man. Yeah.
In terms of the zines, though, because mine have all been sent off to proper printers, but. You know, there are people who literally just photocopy them and staple them still, and
charge 10 quid.
some of them are like 50p. Yeah. And do you remember there was that young lady who came to the first BAM, and she was from Bath Spa Uni, and she turned up on her own and sat there all day quite happily, giving away a zine that she'd made. She'd photocopied it, and she wasn't charging anything for it. And I said, do you want to even charge 50p? And she's like, no, it's fine. I just made it and it's fine. And she was quite happy sitting there.
That's a good creator. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that can be
what it's about for some people. I don't think we should be, we're not always about sales. In fact, let's face it, often we're not. We're not, are we? That's not what the point of it is. The point of it is the creation of it, you know.
And I think you have to kind of get to that, because most people aren't thinking I want to make loads of money out of this, but I think you've got to get into the mindset, if you are going to travel and go to an event and you're paying for the table, you're paying for travel, you know, you're going to be eating out all day, paying for parking, I don't know, all of that kind
going
of
clubbing
and and then you've got to say to yourself, I'm probably not going to cover even my costs here. So you do have to be in it for, I don't say the right reasons, but it's not necessarily the right reasons, but you know what I mean. I think what I've liked about it, and Vince, I've spoken to Vince about this before. We didn't really talk when we were at Comic Summit, but I was aware of him, and somebody had said, "Oh, Vince lives in."
Avoided him, I think it's crazy.
No. Do you know what? There's something quite scary about that. I was aware of him. I just think, how many people are aware of me?
Crime Stoppers.
I was aware of you. No, you were sat on the back row with your missus, and I was there, and Dave kept nipping off to go and buy jazz records, didn't he? So I was sat on the back row on my own, and you were sat there with your fiancé, and so I was aware of you, and you knew everybody, but I met Sam at that event, and that's when we got talking about doing something in Bath, because I was saying, in Bristol, they'll never take me. I never get in the Bristol Comic and Zine Fair, which was my dream to do a table there. But now they've actually disbanded just so I can't have one, you know?
I don't necessarily think it was personal.
No, I know. But anyway, I'll never have my dream come true. So anyway, I was saying to Sam, I always want to go to Bristol. It's great there. Everybody likes zines and comics in Bristol. Mm. Nobody in Bath likes zines and comics. And Sam said, well, let's try and do our own thing then. Mm. And I only met him there at Comic Summit, and it was great. And that's where this has all come from, joining in with you, Vince, and getting it all started up and everything. And because I think it's hooking in with the right people. And I met you guys quite early on, and Tony and Nick, and I feel like I kind of got adopted by you.
I first met your good husband, Mr. Tinkham, because he came over and gave me a couple of your books.
He did. I sent him over because I was on the stall, and also because we'd been over to Nick Prolix's stall and he wasn't there. We bought a whole pack of stuff, and you'd had to take his money because he went somewhere. And when he came back, he was like, "Oh, I've had a sale."
He was on the Tinder, Nick. He's always on the Tinder. That's made up.
He just met up for a date, had he?
Yeah.
Anyway, you can call it that.
So I met you guys, and it all went from there, really, because then. You see other people on Twitter and you see their work and go, oh, that's really great. And lots of people know each other. It's a really nice supportive network, isn't it?
I like to think we're not if you're new to the network, you're not, or the, the community, you're not shunned, are you? It's not like a closed thing.
At all. No.
We're meeting new people all the time,
Yeah, it's really good. And then you see someone new, like we saw Adam for the first time in Adam Falp, that is, who's going to be at BAM. We saw him for the first time in Nottingham, and we keep seeing him around everywhere now, don't we?
I did a little trip to the Comic Mart with him recently, and he was at El Caf, and yeah, he's a good lad.
He was at the
200th,
and yeah, came to 200th.
joined us for dinner afterwards.
I couldn't make that.
We'll do another one day. I said one day,
your
people.
300th.
So that we're doing the summer special.
This is the summer special. So you've sort of jumped sort of into the deep end of the community, haven't you? From sort of wanting to put together a zine about Nicolas Cage. Yeah. So how have you found that? Because obviously with your work, was there a sense of like, oh, my work is so different from everyone else's around me. How will people perceive what I do?
Well, I think the thing is, the first two I did, and we kind of started to talk about it but didn't really go into it, was I did the Morrissey thing.
Yes.
Which was kind of like nobody I knew could read his autobiography because it was so boring. So I said, I'll read it and write it. Summarize it so that you don't have to read it. And then Dave said to me, do pictures with it and make it into another book, like the Murder in France book. And so I did that, and people loved it, actually, because it's quite funny, I suppose. But I can't sell that anymore because Morrissey's been racist, so stupid Morrissey. But but anyway,
I think he just says stuff to wind people up sometimes.
Seems to have done well at that.
I kind of want to smack him a bit because it's like he's his own worst enemy, isn't he? He always acts like a victim. He's like, oh, everybody's always mean about me, and people always take things I say the wrong way. But when you've said things that he's said lately, you can't take it in the wrong way. It's just like, shut up, Morrissey, I'm going to smack you. But but anyway,
there's a shirt.
That's old zine.
Face Morrissey. But I'd done those first two books, and I kind of got fed up of trying to sell them because Gosh and Orbital were taking them, and they were really good, and that was great. And also Rough Trade took them as well. And But apart from that, I just couldn't get into any events. And it was my last ditch attempt was going to Comic Summit, because I thought, I'm not going to do any more books. And then we saw that this event was coming up, and I thought, well, we'll go and see. And I started doing the Nicolas Cage book, and I thought, I need to find out how to get to events or to find public, basically.
And a lot of it's networking as well, like especially with conventions and stuff. Anyway, most of it is networking, and networking is almost the new sort of advertising, in a sense, because the more people you know, the more people will check out your work and probably buy it a lot of the time.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah,
but then if you've got people who actually really like your work as well, if you happen to meet people who get you, that's it's even better, because it's not people just saying, oh yeah, I know this person, buy their book. It's people who enjoy your work saying, not that much work, but you know, if you happen to hook in with the right people that you like their work, they like your work, and it's good fun and everything, then it just makes it everything so much easier. And
I think it's nice to have
enjoyable.
That. It's nice to have an artistic. I mean, I've certainly done jobs that are in no way artistic or creative, and it's nice to have that element of your life as well, isn't it? You know, I think you really need that thing to do to sort of cheer yourself up and make yourself sort of feel sort of slightly more complete. But what I was getting onto is the fact that you've always done that, but in different ways, Rachel, haven't you? I'm right in saying I found a photograph online, which I haven't shared with the boys, but you you were in a band. Did you want to talk a little bit about that for a while?
I've been in some bands, but my main band, and that again ties in with the Jane Birkin thing. You know, I was saying I'm doing a Jane Birkin project, which I've been working on for years. Is I started a Jane Birkin covers band called Baby Birkin, and and that was back in early 90s, I moved to London after I'd finished my degree, and I saw this band called Dutronc, and they did cover versions. They were a British band, but they did cover versions of Jacques Dutronc songs, and they were just in, playing in pubs around London. And I thought, oh, brilliant, I should do that so that people know who Jane Birkin is, because most people don't know who she is, or if they do, it's just they'll just say, oh, she tell me, I know that. But I wanted them to know about her, because she's British and people don't really know the extent of her work and how much she's done and all of that. So I started the Baby Birkin because I wanted people to, I actually want people to listen to Jane Birkin, not me. I always end up doing this, you know. It's like, and I wrote to what's his name, Graham Norton, and said, can you get her on your show? And he did, and they let me come and watch it because they wanted to borrow some of my magazines where she's taken all her clothes off and that. And I was constantly promoting her, trying to say, oh, I want British people to know who she is, because she comes from here and no one knows who she is. But she started doing it without me. She didn't really need me to promote her. So she's doing quite well on her own. So that's why I did Baby Birkin, because I want to say to people, listen to Jane Birkin's records, they're great. And that's why I did that. But
you can find this online, can't you? Some of the songs.
We recorded an album. We got some money from a Japanese record label, as you do. And we recorded an album and we brought it out over here. It was never going to be a big seller or anything. Well, it sold out, but you know, not
nice.
It was indie, you know, so it's not huge quantities.
So
again,
when was this?
Sort of DIY.
Was this sort of mid 90s? Was it? I'm going to guess something like that.
So the album would have been 97.
Right,
like that maybe.
Okay.
So I had that album out, but I'd already sort of guest appeared on some other stuff. I guest appeared with a band called Piano Magic, and then I did a kind of a made up band for Mike Always, L Records or Cherry Red, or whatever it was. I've lost track. Yeah, nothing.
And that's the new
very good.
And that's the new zine / comic project, is it?
No. So Jane Birkin. I was going to write a biography about her, and she knows who I am because I'm her biggest fan, I'd say, in the UK. But anyway, so she does know, and I told her back in the day that we'd got this band called Baby Birkin, who she kept threatening to come and see, but never did, you know,
yeah,
as they do. So it was like, oh, lovely, I'll come and see your band, but oh, I'm busy, I'm meeting President Mitterrand, that kind of thing, you know. So any excuse, you know. But anyway, so she does know who I am, and I'd gone to her first concert in the UK at the Savoy, and she said I was her first British spectator fan and all of that kind of thing. So I'm not a stalker, but, you know, I've seen her a lot.
Okay. And, but I suppose I people know her best over here for being married to Serge Gainsbourg. Is that right? Or
No, she was also... she wasn't actually married to Serge, but she was married to John Barry, you know, right, the Bond composer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was married to him first, and then he ran off and left her, and... she went to France to make a film, and it was with Serge. And they were together for 13 years after that. And then she left him, and he was heartbroken. And that's their story.
Blimey, I'm learning so much about Rachel this week.
Yeah,
we need a zine about your band days in Baby Birkin. We do need one about that. I got to tell you. I have to admit, I've just sent the boys the picture of you in the band.
Yeah. Okay, which one is it?
Are you in like a...
Do you know who I am? Do you know which one I am?
Yeah, you're the singer.
Oh, yeah, I was the singer, yeah.
Yeah, of course. We had this discussion before. Of course I know which one you are.
I know, how do you know I'm the singer? Is it a picture of me singing?
There's sort of the whole band and you're sort of waving or something.
Is that right? Oh, have I got a wig on?
You might have, yeah.
A blonde bubble wig.
No.
You're wearing green, lime green.
Okay, yeah, that was my outfit, yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Amazing, absolutely amazing. I tell you what, you're a dark horse.
Yeah, it's hidden depths here.
Yeah. And I also think that there's definitely, you should write a fanzine about that. I think there's also a fanzine in the works about you looking back on, you know, people like Kinski or you know, the heroes that you just sort of think,
well,
oh,
shit. Do you know what?
Mileage there.
So yeah. I was going to do this biography, and I've been in touch with her, mainly through her brother, because she had a bit of a family tragedy when her daughter died. And so I didn't want to trouble her saying, oh, I'm going to write a book about you, in case she thought it was, you know, something awful. So I went through her brother, who's a famous film director and writer. And he was really nice about it. He was like, yeah, we know that you've got good intentions. But I just always got the impression that she, although she said she'd read it and everything, that she didn't really want a book about her. And I was talking to Sam about this, because I was like, well, I've done 5 years of work. I started working part-time so I could work on it. And I'd done 5 years of work on this, like real proper research and everything. Because... I do love her. I don't mean that in a funny way. I just really admire her. I was talking to Sam about it, and Sam was saying, you've got to make it personal, because I was telling him this story about how after the event, like I found whilst I was doing research for the book, there was some kind of interview with her, which I hadn't seen at the time back in the 90s, where she mentioned me.
Oh,
and
okay.
She said, she was in Women of Troy at the National Theatre at the time, and she said, this young lady turned up and announced herself as my biggest fan, and I had this massive audience of loads of people, and it made it sound as if I'd got up in front of an audience and said, hey, I'm your biggest fan, Jane Birkin, and I've got a band called Baby Birkin, which of course I'd never do, because I'd just go purple, you know, just really thought doing that. But she said she was dressed from head to toe in pink, and she turns up and announces herself as my biggest fan. And I read it and I was like, oh my God. And so I've got a photograph of me when I met her. I didn't have pink on at all. I got a white furry jacket, and I got my eyes shut because I was so excited. And I'd given her a bag with something in, and it was a Forbidden Planet bag, which she's got on her hand. So I've got a picture of me with her. Then the weird thing was, I was telling Sam, the next day I walked past the Oxfam shop on Pulteney Bridge, and in the window was this kid's book, and it was called And Miss Carter Wore Pink. And I was like, fucking hell, what's going on?
Everyone's a robot. It's part of my theory. Everyone Everyone in the world is a robot apart from us, Rachel. Everything is pre-programmed. Yeah. Yeah, that's my theory.
And Sam's like, oh, this is brilliant. You've got to write it all down. And, you know, I was telling him about how I had to blackmail the Graham Norton people to get to go to the thing because they were like, oh, we don't have any seats left. You can't come. And I was like, oh, well, I won't send my stuff to you then. They were like, oh, okay, we'll find a seat for you.
I tell you what, there's a fucking amazing book in this somewhere. This is gold. This is absolute gold.
Well, I have a vision of Jane Birkin hiring you as an assassin.
No, she knows.
Working for Birkin. There you go.
Yeah. Rock and roll assassin.
Oh my God. You're onto something there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because I was working for Birkin. See, I was trying to get everyone to buy her records by listening to me singing badly, scantily dressed in front of an audience of two men and a dog. And then
all been there.
Yeah.
wasn't singing.
I don't know. Yeah, I've always been trying to promote her in one way or another.
I mean, you try and promote like a lot of people that people don't necessarily know about. I mean, for instance, your latest work is about Neil Breen.
Oh yeah.
Oh bloody hell.
Do you love the Breen?
I've seen reviews of his films, but never actually watched the whole one.
Why? They are superb. The guy's a genius.
Now, when you say superb and genius, there's a sense of irony, but you're also being 100% like real, aren't you? You mean that?
Yeah. Oh my.
Is it one God, of those so bad films. It's good kind of stuff? I mean, who is Neil Breen? For those people that don't know.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he's apparently he's an estate agent in Las Vegas, and he's quite rich, and he makes his own films, but he writes them. He directs them, he stars in them, he writes the music for them, he casts them, he caters them, he edits them, he does everything. And they always have some kind of, I'd kind of say like, well, they're very preachy. So it's about the environment or it's about corruption and taking the government down and all of that kind of thing.
Biting the man. And,
There's always like really uncomfortable scenes where he kisses a woman, and you can tell he's never kissed a woman. He's never met a real woman in his life before. You know, that kind of
thing. So it's about laptop abuse in every one of his films. He's broken laptops, and whatever happens in the script, it always ends up them getting stuff spilt on them when they get smashed.
Yeah.
Or
and have you noticed that those laptops are never actually turned on?
No, yeah, never on.
Yeah, a little bit like the ladies in the film.
There's one, I can't remember, it might be the one called Double Down.
Oh,
where
yeah,
he's like, he's in the pool with his wife and they're both naked and it's fucking cringe.
Oh my God.
She's like got her arm over herself holding the side of the pool as like a shield between him and her. There's like a certain amount of awkwardness there.
Yeah, there's a lot of awkwardness. But it's a way he kind of does an auntie kiss as well, you know, like that kind of pursed lips. Is that how you kiss people? I don't know. Yeah, he's
turning
amazing.
Into one of the best episodes ever. I just like pointing that out. I'm just sitting here listening. This is genius. I need to go and look this geezer up now. Just that description of him kissing has made me love
him. Have you never heard of him before?
I had, but I've never seen anything by him, yeah.
No.
Oh yeah, so he's the inspiration behind Neil Breen's Cosmic Blowtorch, which is a reference to. It might be. I don't know if it is Double Down. I'm not sure because like they all melded into one film, to be honest, because they're all very similar. But there's a film where, well, any film that he does, if somebody's shooting a gun, he has to have like a sound effect and a visual effect.
Oh, okay.
Because it feels like you need to have like a shot of fire coming out the end of the gun, because he obviously doesn't know how real films are made or anything, you know. And but he has some guys using a blowtorch and they haven't got a real one, so they're not, it doesn't really work, so he has to have some fake fire on this blowtorch afterwards. He has to add it in, which presumably costs a lot more money than having a real blowtorch, I'd have thought. But, you know. I don't know. But everything's always cosmic. It's always like, oh, it's a magical day, and yeah. Oh, here's the woman that is. When I was little, I was in love with this girl from school, and then I never saw her again. And oh, I've bumped into her now that we're 30 years older, but she looks about 20, and I look about 50. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Isn't that where he's got a little magic pebble that can cure cancer?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's got like a stone or something, isn't she? And there's that notebook that says it's a magical day, and they meet again after he's had this car accident where he gets knocked over and he's got like massive bandages over his head and everything, and that's the one where he's in the shower with his wife and there's blood pouring from his head and everything while he's got bandages on.
They're fucking mental.
Naked.
We need to, if ever we do like a convention or something, lads, we need to have a screening of one of his films.
Yeah.
Oh my god. You would love it. You'd love it. I tell you.
A Breen screen.
John Tucker knows Neil Breen. Yeah.
Really?
Wow. Of course he does. Of course he does.
That does surprise me in some respects.
Yeah. I don't think John Tucker's wife was impressed. I think she was like, "Oh, was that a horrible film you made me watch?"
Yeah. Oh dear. Yeah.
So were they in the swimming pool together at the time, or?
What, John Tucker and his wife in the swimming pool with Neil Breen and that woman?
I'd watch that film.
Yeah,
I'd definitely watch that film.
There is something else that I know you have watched, Tony, that Rachel's a big fan of as well. And certainly a bit of Rachel's work earned her a like from Carl McLaughlin, because you are both Twin Peaks fans, aren't you?
Love Twin Peaks. Love it. The new series,
and you love Dune as well, don't you?
Every day I think about Dune. Me and Dan are big Dune fans. We literally send each other phrases from Dune almost every day.
As for me, I was only born in Dune.
We joined the Dune shitposting group on Facebook.
Yeah, that's great.
Dune memes every day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Dave went to see Dune on the big screen at Prince Charles.
Right.
And I also bought Dave a pop-up Dune book, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah, there's a colouring in book as well you can get. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've got some of the Dune figures.
I know. I'm super impressed by that. Yeah.
I love it. My experience of Dune is I was fifth form when it came out. I went and saw it at the cinema, bought the book on the way home, read the first three, went the following week to see it again. And I saw it 4 weeks in a row at the cinema till it left the cinema.
Really?
Yeah, I absolutely am obsessed with that series, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
brilliant. Yeah, they're remaking it now.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. The new series of Twin Peaks, though, is easily the best TV there has been for donkey years.
Yeah, you're right there.
It's incredible. The last scene, the abstract episode, it's just taken it.
Did you have to watch that again after you'd watched it the first time? Because we had to watch it again the next night.
I found it so fascinating.
Big deal of it. Like for me, it was the most exciting time that I was thinking we get to see Twin Peaks again tonight, and I'd got some David Lynch coffee, and we'd have a cherry pie.
How do you mean David Lynch coffee? Does he make his own coffee?
His own coffee, isn't he? Yeah.
He does. Yeah.
And he makes his own comics, and he's a big comic fan. There's a documentary about him, about his art, I think I own it actually on DVD. And in it, you can see
Art Life. Is that the one?
I can't remember now. Yeah, but yeah, really, and in it, you can see underneath really his palette, where he's painting, there's Stray Bullets.
Oh, amazing. I've seen clips of, behind the scenes when he was making the new series of Twin Peaks and stuff, and how he was he was getting really frustrated with like producers and stuff saying, "Oh, we can't record, we can't do this on this day, I can't do that on that." Have you seen those clips?
I've heard interviews about it.
He was going to duck out of it at one point, wasn't he, Tony? Because because they weren't going to let him direct, and he was like, "No, that's not what he didn't want that at all. He really wanted to have final say on it."
That's it. I don't want any more. I don't think it needs any more. It's done. The two series are very different actually, because the first series is really sort of soap opera-y, melodramatic. People think it's this sort of incredibly deep, you know, like almost like cinema on a TV, but it's not. It's actually strangely soap opera-y, isn't it? You know, the first series.
The first one's like really, I think people thought that, well, it was wasn't so sinister, and then it got really dark, didn't it?
Yeah,
and
I think
people started like, oh, it's not just about cherry pie and kids at school.
Exactly. Yeah. No. And the first episode, the pilot, which is a movie, isn't it, is like a detective. It's like a whodunit almost, you know, with a really clever twist to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the new series is just something else. It's everything in one go. It's comedy. It's, you know, it's everything.
Season three, it was like season two. Some people started
dropping out.
Because it got rid of the people that just thought it was just about donuts and coffee and that.
Yeah.
And then season three got rid of even more people because it was even further out. So
yeah, and McLachlan is amazing because without giving it away, he plays a number of versions of himself in it. And
he was awesome. He was the one who's sort of
lost his mind and is just sort of a little bit simple. It just makes me laugh.
Dougie, we love Dougie, but I also love Evil Coop. He's kind of sane, you know.
And he looks like he can throw a punch. That's a good thing about him. He looks like he could do that.
He's a very underrated actor, I think, Carl McLachlan.
He totally should have won something for that. He was robbed.
Yeah. He was, yeah. And look at, I mean, Showgirls, he should have won for that.
Oh, my word. God, yeah.
I quite like The Hidden. I think that's a good film.
Yeah,
that's a great film.
Hidden's crying out for some kind of sequel comic series for me.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, we need to do that. We need to do like sequels to that and Scanners and all kinds. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get on it. We've already always talked about it.
Yeah. But for those who don't know, if they're a fan of Twin Peaks, if you get to Rachel's table, she's got an Agent Cooper pocket mirror, which everyone needs.
Yeah, they do. I love it when I sell one of those. It makes me really proud that I've made these little Agent Cooper. And he liked it. And I was so excited that day, wasn't I, Vince?
Yeah.
It was our first BAM. And I was like, oh, my God, Carl McLaughlin's made my
day. You told me, didn't you? Yeah. I remember you telling me about that. And I said to you, oh, you like Twin Peaks, do you? And you said, Tony, I'm wearing a Twin Peaks jumper.
Oh yeah.
I hadn't noticed.
That showed you.
Yeah. That's a nice segue though.
Pizza medallion, yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of, aren't I? Always a fan of something.
You're going to segue us into BAM.
That was a good segue. Talking about the first BAM comic art and zine fair. I think that's a nice segue to talk about the event, I think.
Vince bought me tea at that one.
Did I?
Yeah, I did.
Cycle. Of us not buying Tony drinks.
Yes, because obviously
I'm staying over.
You know, there was this little sort of community of like artists that we all got together and stuff. Yeah. And then Rachel, God bless her, just went ahead and like she just was at the head of the charge and said, let's do an event. And before we knew it, there was an event happening.
And we had 3 weeks notice, didn't we?
Yeah. This was in December last year, wasn't it? It was
Was it December the 8th?
I think so. It was happening
during the Christmas market.
The Christmas market, which if you've ever been to Bath in the Christmas market,
it's hellish.
It's hellish.
It's mental.
Yeah. Purely cuz there's people everywhere, absolutely everywhere. Yeah. So and there was this little free to enter comic book and zine event just happening. We kept it sort of small to begin with, didn't we?
Because we weren't sure how it would work, and also we didn't want to invite loads of, it was short notice as well, so you didn't kind of want to say to people in December like, hey, do you want to come and do this fair? And of course Tony did, because I think you said at the time, didn't you, Vince, he'll come to the opening of an envelope. So Tony showed
up. You never said that to me.
I've been thrown under the bus again. And I think it was a packet of crisps, not an envelope.
It was a packet of crisps actually. And actually when we first started talking, I was eating some crisps earlier, so full circle.
Let's face it, Vince will only come to your meetups if you buy him one of those posh Costa coffee hot chocolates with the marshmallows in.
That is what I have at every single meetup. I'll have a big hot chocolate because I'm grown up.
We got John Tucker there, didn't we, for the first one? He came over for it. That was great.
Paul Ashley Brown.
And
Paul Ashley Brown.
Yeah.
And Sam was there, and Lise was there,
And we had a little raffle table, and because there was a sense of like keep it small, you know, because obviously it was the first event with Comedia in Bath as well, who are very supportive as well, which is fantastic. But but it went well, didn't it? The day was
it did.
Free entry, wasn't it?
I had a lovely day, and I was so excited I forgot to take pictures, so don't have any.
Yeah, there's no evidence that the event actually happened.
I don't think I've got any either.
No.
I had some pictures of Vince for a while, didn't I? Bloke for an hour.
You did, because Vince got collared by people, as he always does. Bit of a magnet, aren't you, Vince?
Yeah, please don't call me that again, Rachel. Don't. you know what I'm talking about. Please don't call me that again.
Later in the show.
Yeah. So obviously, it went well, and then we wanted to do another one, didn't we? I mean, after we had a real good day, and thankfully, so did everyone that turned up on the day.
Yeah. It was lovely. Yeah. I think everyone had a nice time. There was a nice vibe there. And there were plenty of people coming in, and people were buying stuff, which for me is a first. but it was a lovely day, wasn't it? And I think like everybody who came in the room had their death drawn by John Tucker.
Yeah,
he was busy all day.
Yeah,
I think he got like a hook for a hand at the end of it.
So, what would you say after that? What inspired you to go all out for the second one? Because I will say, I mean, for me, you're the drill sergeant, you're leading the charge for this one. I mean, I'm doing what I can, but
I know.
I'll say on the record, people, that a lot of the BAM event is down to Rachel's like legwork and stuff.
But you and Nini have been an absolute fab help. I mean, you've done tons doing the blog and the banner, and it's getting all professional.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? It looks oddly legit. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, and you've been fab, Vince. It's great. But I think because we could, and I think because it was, I thought we should do something for Small Press Day. You know, I was kind of trying for us to do maybe three events a year, sort of one every quarter, and it kind of wasn't working out because it's a bit like.
We initially talked around Easter. Yeah, we initially talked about Easter, didn't we? But Easter just appeared before we knew it.
It just wasn't happening. Yeah. And then I thought, well, Small Press Day is a good day to do something because we haven't got a comic shop in Bath. We have got a comic shop in Bath, I should say. But it's Funko Pops, that kind of thing, and very mainstream. And they if they did an event for Small Press, which they don't, but if they did, it wouldn't necessarily attract the right kind of audience anyway. So I thought we're all indies. We're we'll do our own stuff. Some of us do comics, some of us do zines, and all sorts of bits and bobs like merchandise and that. And it made sense to do something for Small Press Day and kind of hook in with that. And I thought, well, it should be good. We should have a lot more people attending.
And it's one hell of a lineup that, like, you know, you've got together. And what I like about it as well, I mean, I know I'm one of the sort of organisers, but it's the range of different work. I mean, because putting together the blog, I've been very fortunate to, you know, see a lot of links to like some new people's work that I haven't seen before. And there's people that have been on this show. And there's new creators that, you know, will possibly be on the show in the future. But you know, where did you find like a lot of these exhibitors to ask?
A lot of them I met at other events and things, and this fan of thing. I become fans of people. Like, I mean, you know, I love Nick Prolix's work. So I definitely wanted Nick to come, and he said yeah, which was great because I thought people won't come because it's a bit far for them. They don't live in the southwest and that. But when people start saying yeah, and Russell Mark Olson said yeah, I was super chuffed. And I asked Paul B. Rainey. I absolutely adore his work, and he said yes, and he knows I'm a big fan of his work, and. And then there's other people like Simon L. Reed, who I'd met in Cardiff, that we were all at Cardiff. And I just saw his stuff there, and I thought his work was amazing. amazing. And yeah, I just see people around and about. And then there's people that I've got to know through Twitter, and there's people that you know as well, and I see their work. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I always forget your friend's name. Is it Nunu? What's her name? Nini.
Nini.
She's done her first.
She's done two. She's bringing two, and she's the same kind of thing as me. So she's done one about Streets of Fire, the film. Right.
Oh my God.
And the other one is Badly Drawn Kurt Russell's, and that's not me saying that. That's her saying that. Because she loves Kurt Russell, so she's doing sort of the film side of things as well, and that's I'm pop culture-y, you know, like doing stuff about things that I really like, and that's what she's doing as well, and she's, you know, she's been to loads of events with me as my friend, and supported events and gone along and bought things, and she just kind of thought, because I kept saying, like, you might have to do something if you're going to come.
It's one of those bitten by the bug, yeah, isn't it? You see the community and the enthusiasm. Yeah, and you just want to take part, really, don't you? And then
she had to put up with me being off my nut at Cardiff that time. Because she was there next to me.
Did you have food poisoning or something? That's it was it. Great.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great, but it didn't last very long, did he, Vince?
No, left about two. I lasted.
But I was so proud of you, lightweight.
Right. I'm staying overnight, Fatty. So I'm making you and Dave come out for a drink, and I'm making you stay with me till I become really annoying.
Really? Because do you know I don't drink?
Well, I rarely do, but I'll make the exception this time.
And you know, Dave's like 2 pints tinkum, don't you? He is 2 pints, and he's jolly. I think one night he had 3 pints, and he was walking home, and I was talking to him on his way home, and he said, "Oh, there's a little cat waiting across the road for me." And I said, "Oh, what is it? What colour is it?" And he said, "Oh, it's a log." So
best to leave it at the 3 then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't get him drunk, Tony.
that's the quote of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to get that at school. Don't be a bad influence on the other boarders, Esmond. You keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. But you always are. You just continued. Yeah. So
anyway, back to BAM. I'm just kind of hoping, like, I want everyone to meet each other as well. It's like having a nice party, I think. And there's people that we don't all know, like that some of your friends I've not met yet who are coming, and I'm looking forward to meeting them. And John Ottaway, I can't wait to see, because we can have loads of chats, and he's great. Yeah. And I know I've not got a table, but, you know, that don't matter.
I'm depending on John. He's going to have to look after the table when I go for a week.
There's loads of stuff I want to buy myself. So
I'm waiting to hear from Nobrow tomorrow, but we might have an early release of a book.
Please. That would be great.
We're very excited.
I think we're so lucky, because we've got loads of great people coming anyway, but we've also got loads of great people who've got new stuff coming out. Event exclusives. And I don't know about you, Vince, but I've been really, it's quite touching that someone like John Tucker made his own poster for the event. Well, he's got 100 copies to give away to the first people there.
I'm putting
them
on eBay.
Another reason to come early.
Yeah, and we will say this, like, up front to anyone who listens to this, you know, all the exhibitors, or, like, you know, if you just go visit for the day, we so appreciate all the support and all the shouting out about it, because there is a buzz about this event, which is quite exciting.
There is, Zoe and Sam were saying that to me at Nobrow the other day. They said, "Oh, it's getting really good word of mouth there." And I said,
"Yeah, it is."
You know, for the right reasons.
Yeah, there isn't, these sort of events don't happen in Bath, like, hardly ever. I know that there's been a couple of, like, comic conventions sort of recently.
Yeah, but
that's the standard, you know.
Dress up.
Yeah, if you want your picture taken with a Kestrel or sat on a Jurassic Park toilet.
Fucking Kez.
Come on, Kez, you bastard. Come on. but you know, there's not sort of, there hasn't been many events like that, well, that I know of, that have that sort of, you know, like the Bristol Zine Fairs or like the sort of, you know, like the LCAFs. You know, there's not really anything. And in Bath, which is a beautiful city, you know, and quite an artistic city as well. I mean, I really hope that, you know, this, as many people sort of walk in on the day, because it's free entry as well.
Yeah.
It is. And it's brought people out of the woodwork, because we've had people get in touch with us who are from Bath, who said, or live in Bath at the moment, let's say, and they've said, can I come along? And we have got some people that are totally new to us, whose work we've looked at and said, like, that looks good, and they're coming along, but we didn't know that they existed before, did we?
Yeah. I'll have to check my map, actually, because I'm going to a place called Bath. Is that the same place, is it?
look, there's two ways of saying
Shut
it.
Shut up, Tony. Right.
It's been a while since we've had that. Yay.
Yeah. There's Bath and Bath. I actually use both.
Really?
Yeah.
You're quite posh. You're posh sometimes, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you didn't let me meet your parents last year. They turned up and you said, I don't know him.
I'm not surprised. It's like, you're like his second wife, aren't you? I'm not.
Like an STD, but friend.
Jealous when other people are talking to him.
I do get jealous.
I've noticed that. Yeah.
That's why me and Joe don't.
I see you giving people evils when they were talking to him.
That's why me and Joe are like mortal enemies, because we're just jealous of each other.
I love
Vince,
this.
Did you know there's a tug of? It's a bit like Xander Lee. This. Oh my god.
No.
Oh. You know Xander Lee with Nick Cage, where he gets his ball back.
Pardon?
what's happening on the show now, Vince? I'm a bit scared.
What's happening? What's happening? I tell you,
move in.
Yeah.
But you've not seen Xander Lee then, no?
Well, I had seen it years ago. I don't know.
I don't want to see it now. Oh.
It's only a glimpse, Vince, but it's enough.
Oh, that's all right then. If it's only a glimpse of a ball bag, fine. If anything,
that little glimpse burns its way into your retina.
Exactly. If anything, it's made me more excited. But yes,
back, the promise of more to come.
From bollocks to bam, which isn't going to be the name of this episode.
Wham bam, thank you bollocks.
No, we're thoroughly looking forward to it. You know, we hope all of our listeners, if you're in the area, I know, especially like if you're in the Bristol sort of area, Bristol, Cardiff area or something like that, this is going to be, there's lots of new faces as well that you might not know, or some creators that don't necessarily get down to, like, you know, haven't been to the Bristol shows and stuff like, you know, like,
fresh off
people
the
coming from Wales.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Fresh off the news bandwagon, I've got some extra special Kingdom John Lake postcards, which look like little prints.
Oh, really?
You're going to want, and they're free, so you're going to want one of them. Yeah.
John Lake or John McNaught?
John McNaught, pardon me. Sorry, John McNaught postcards. Yeah. I always get two mixed up.
Nice.
Too many Johns in your life.
Yeah.
So, for anyone who wants to know more about the event, then Rachel, where can they find out more?
They can find out at the blog that you developed.
Touche. I served it and she returned the service straight back to me. Yes.
Well, and they can go to Twitter, which is at BAM_fair. That's BAM_fair, FAIR. That's Twitter. And then it's on also on Instagram and Facebook. And what is it? Bath Comic Art Zine Fair.
I believe it is, no, yes.
Comic Zine Art Fair?
Yes.
Or one of those, anyway. And what
it's Bath _ Comic Zine Art Fair.
That's it.
On Instagram, there you go.
Yeah. And Facebook as well, I think.
And the blog is bamcomicfair.blogspot.com to find out more. So hopefully over the next coming days, in the lead up to the actual day, we'll have a couple more sort of posts on the blog. Because I just kept posting like, oh, we've got, here's a bunch of exhibitors, here's exhibitors. And I kept posting thinking, we've got so many people coming to this thing.
The last lot. And I was like, no, it's not.
Yes. Vince, what are you doing?
I know. There's so much.
There's like another bunch, weren't there? But sorry.
Don't apologize.
And we had like more people asking us if they can come, but I was like, we're booked up now, actually.
Yeah. Well, if this one goes well, then they can come to the next one.
Yeah, we've got one in December coming up.
Yeah. So, all right, let's just get this one done.
Let's get this one out of the way first. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, please join us on the event. We'll probably do it on next week's show. We'll do a little rundown of how it all went, how the day went. I doubt we're going to do any recording on the day because
it's Tony's gonna be mental, isn't it?
Yeah, Tony's obviously, you know, he's always super busy with the no brow stuff, and I'll be running around like a blue ass fly.
No, you're going to be at your stall selling loads of commissions.
Talking to weird people about the Punisher for an hour and a half.
Oh, not again.
We need a danger word. Are we going to develop a danger word now?
Okay.
Can we use wombles? We had wombles before, didn't we?
Wombles, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wombles.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
All right then. But then
do we need anyone needs saving?
Yeah.
If anyone needs saving, not in a like swing on a rope, catch them, you know.
Yeah.
In front of
to all of the exhibitors, if you need saving, wombles. Although they'll all be saying wombles left, right, and center.
Yeah, they'll be saying it because it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, please join us for the day. Comedia Bath, Saturday, 13th of July, which is a small press day. Likewise, if any of you out there all over the UK are doing an event for Small Press Day, please just tweet us and we'll retweet it and stuff, because it's looking like it's going to be a hell of a day. I know there's lots of comic signings and all kinds of events happening all over the UK. So let us know and we'll tweet about it.
There's one going on at Orbital in there. Orbital have got one going.
And there's stuff happening all over the country. So be sure to. I know they're trying to get a sort of hashtag going as well, aren't they? Small Press Day.
Yeah.
So yeah, and they've been very supportive of us. If you go to the Small Press Day website as well, there's a listing. BAM's on there, but there's lots of other events. So you know, if you can't make it to this one, have a look, see if there's one in your local area. Because normally these sort of events are all free entry anyway. That's what I love about this stuff.
Because mostly take place at comic book stores. It's fair to say.
Yeah.
But because we don't have one that's sympathetic to that kind of thing, I'd say they probably would host us, but we wouldn't get that many people in there, would we, Vince? So swings and roundabouts. So we're hosting our own thing, and we've got about 36 people coming, I think, 36 people tabling.
Yeah. Okay. So, I've even had a few pre-sales. People have emailed me saying, can you bring this along, can you bring that along?
Nice. I reckon even if we only bought each other's things, like everybody,
everyone
happy,
would do all right.
Wouldn't spend loads of money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So make it to the event, and also follow Rachel on Twitter. We'll give you her Twitter handle in a bit. She's sticking with us for the next 25 minutes or so, because she's a glutton for punishment. But this has already been so much fun already. Do we have any other shout outs this week, gents?
I haven't got any.
No.
What?
I know. Oh, shout out to Ken Reynolds. I had a coffee with in Ipswich the other day. We had quite a giggle. Oh, and shout out to Brennan and Matt Wagner, who sent me a print through, which I'm hugely excited about.
Oh, there nice. Nice. There you go. Rachel, do you have any shout outs?
No,
brilliant.
I kind of wanted to tell you about Simon L. Reed's books. You know, I go on about him.
Oh, hold on.
You'll think I'm dorking him, won't I?
Well, maybe if he listens to the show. we'll be recommending comics in a short while.
Okay.
So, you know, you'll have your chance. I suppose if there's shout out to anyone that's asked me for a commission recently. I've been having fun doing them.
They've been looking good, man. Yeah, really good. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, I'd like to have a shout out to Comedia Bath for having us.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's a good one. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be cracking.
And to everybody that's coming along, and well, to everybody that turns up on the day to come and see us and buy things, but the people that are taking us seriously as an event and coming along to table,
have you figured out where we're going to go clubbing? What's the clubbing scene like in Bath afterwards? Is it quite good, or
just
trying to figure out my outfit, really, you know?
I mean, less is more.
Yeah, so just the usual jockstrap.
Yeah.
You promised you were going to wear the lederhosen.
Yeah, that is true. I might do that.
Oh,
yeah.
The picture in my mind is absolutely fucking phenomenal right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a quick shout out to our final Halloween 1 and 2 Kickstarter.
Ah, yes.
I might go in my stock. That's going great guns. That's got another 11 days when you hear this podcast on the Monday. And the first one was great, so hopefully the second one will be just as great. I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
And that back there now, and you should get it in time for Halloween, October.
Amazing. Nice. Amazing. We need to get Mike on the show, Mike Lee Graham on the show. Well, both of them on the show, probably.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, in the future. So,
can I ask this?
Go on.
Sensitive question. Why is Dan not coming to BAM?
Why is Dan not coming to... Oh, he's...
He's coming. You are coming, Dan, aren't you?
No, I don't know. I have to see how I'm fixed on the Saturday.
No, I meant, like, why aren't you tabling?
Oh, okay. I don't know, really. There's kind of...
that bloody Vince, eh?
What? Do you know what? I thought I'd be safe on this show, but it's like the opposite has happened.
No, you're not safe.
You're never safe. Dan, where'd you get that ludicrous idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you can...
I'd be honoured.
Oh. Yeah.
Heard it here, folks. Verbally binding agreement.
Yeah. So that could... Yeah, in December, Dan could be joining us. Oh, that's exciting.
We're on his way to Bath.
What the fuck was that?
That's how you guys say it.
Isn't it? That's how they talk.
No, it isn't.
Say Bath then.
Bath.
Bath.
Yeah. Or Bath.
There it is.
Bath. Right. Bath.
Yeah. I live in Bath, but I'm going to have a bath.
You go to the bath.
You're not pushing the bath, aren't you? That's how it goes.
The tap end. Anyway. So.
You made me have the tap end last time. I didn't like that.
Well, you know. Just don't ask me to scrub your back. So, have we... onto comics. Let's recommend some stuff. Yeah. So, before
can I do the opposite of a recommend?
Yes.
Do you want to do that first, then, Dan?
Yeah, I don't usually crap on people for making their comics, but I've
got to pay for that.
I backed a comic on Kickstarter a little while ago, and it was doing really well. The writer had some pedigree of doing some other titles before, which I hadn't read. Foolishly, I based it on that. But it was awful. I mean, looking at the Kickstarter, all really well put together. The art in it is fantastic. The lettering's fantastic. Colouring's just top-notch. All of it is just grade A, sort of like, if you picked up a book from the Big Two, it wouldn't be out of place to find it in there. But the writing's just bloody awful.
In terms of what this is, should people contact you on Twitter or whatever to find out?
If they want, I'll send them a DM. I'm happy to do that, but we know we're not about crapping on people, but it's just like this, the plotting, the dialogue, it's just really, really bad. I don't know how it's got so...
For me, this brings up, we talked a bit about this, and I know what you're talking about because I've seen it, but we talked a bit about this, and there's two areas that I see for this man. Firstly is people believe people are good and recommend their work because they've heard they're good, not because they've read their book sometimes.
Mm.
And I think that's a problem these days. I think I had a conversation with someone recently after I said, well, I really didn't like their book. And they said to me, oh, but normally they're really good, aren't they? And I said, well, oh, okay. Which books, like, and I actually genuinely meant this, which books did you think were good? You know? And they went, oh, no, I've not read any of their books.
So it's strange thing to say that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think this by people just go off what they hear sometimes rather than what they
expect. To be fair, I've done that too. So
I think we've all done it, man. Yeah. And the other thing is, I think people need it, like we talked about before, and we've talked about it three or four times now, people need to run writing past other people sometimes.
Mm.
Mm.
You get so caught up in the moment, you get caught up in a narrative strand or what you think is structure, and you can't stand back and look at it sufficiently enough.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's why comics work with editors. You know, a lot of comics have an editor. I think that's kind of important sometimes, you know?
Because there's like, there's a scene in the minute, and it's kind of a retelling, a spin on an old story. And I've been reading some of the stuff by the guy, like he has an interview on a site, and he says, I had this sequence, so I thought, why not put a fight sequence in there? And there's a reason there's not a fight sequence in there in the original story. It's like, it's 2 minutes into the story and it's setting up the characters. It doesn't need it. It doesn't work. It's not like a kind of very bad, like it's a taste thing. It's not my cup of tea. It's just broken. Doesn't work in any way. Mm. So,
interesting. Because it does look nice, this book.
Yeah, it's the business. Yeah. I was sort of mentioning the fact that Kickstarters, I would say, a lot of their origin comes from the writer, and the writer puts together the money, hires an art. This is not everyone, obviously, but the writer puts together
often
the money.
Yeah.
Gets the artist, gets the letter, gets the whole team together, and all the other parts of that book could be under scrutiny, but the writing one, because the money's doing the talking, as it were, he's paying for it, or they're paying for it, it's not scrutinized enough. Excuse me. Yeah. So
God, they've poisoned him.
Like, stuff would come through that ordinarily wouldn't really stand on its own it's own 2 feet. And I find a lot of stuff with a Kickstarter when I'm doing like blind backing on stuff I don't know. I get it through and it's just like, oh God, there's just no content here. It's just like someone's dashed it off in half a day, the script, and not spent any time thinking about it.
And you said this to me before, mate. You said that just something, because something's popular doesn't mean it's good. And it goes to say as well, it's just because something's like 4,000% funded does not mean it's good.
No.
Yeah.
You've got to look at it to see what you, either good or to your taste. You've got to look at it to see what, you know, what it's like.
Do you know what I'm wondering though with the Kickstarter thing? So, I mean, I guess if you have got a lot of fans, I'm not in that position. I'm not kickstarting anything. But if you've got a lot of fans and you get something funded really quickly, maybe it happens too quick. And I know quite often people have got most of the work done, if not all of it. But I just wonder if people rush things out because they can, rather than if they had to go to a publisher, which doesn't happen a lot these days. But if you had, it would have got, you'd have got told you need to work on that.
And certainly you would have been like, oh, I've got this finished book. And they'd be like, okay, we'll it's going to be out next autumn.
Oh, yeah, we've got an 18-month slate. No, around. We've got 18 months till the last book we've commissioned is on the list, you know? Mm. So stuff that comes in now won't come out till 2021, maybe, you know?
Mm. But it's also the biggest strength and weakness of zines and small press, that anyone can do any comic, but also anyone can do any comic, which you're going to get some shit among the gems. So
And also you've got a lot of people, and we've talked about this before, afraid to say anything bad about stuff, so everything's brilliant. And you get this, like, rolling down a hill, gathering speed of, like, this is really, you know, oh, this is good. Oh, this is really good. Oh, this is amazing. You know, and you think, when it finally hits the bottom of the hill and you read it, you think, what was all the fuss about there? That's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
So get in touch with Dan to find out what this book is. Like I say, it has its pluses and its minuses. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
like you, I sort of flicked the equivalent of digitally flicking through it. You showed it to me earlier and I'm like, oh okay,
this looks lovely. That's exactly what I thought. I thought, oh, this looks really nice. So there must be something more to it to to get Dan's reaction like that. Yeah, so interesting.
It's like someone seen something before, I can do that, and then that not understand the structure of it.
There's a lot of that going on there.
So
I'll go next with a quick sort of recommendation, as it were, and I'm stepping back to the world of Valiant.
Oh, nice! Oh, I know what's coming.
This one, but do you though?
Do I?
I don't know. Do you? This is one I've mentioned before on the show, and it's written by Tini Howard, art by Amal Sarpina, colors Ulysses Areola, and letters and logo design. that is
Ulysses Areola.
That is the name. Logos and letter design, Jeff Powell. And my murdering of the names aside, this is the final issue of The Forgotten Queen from Valiant. Which, for those that don't know, now I think I might put a spoiler warning here. Right, so you might want to skip forward 5 minutes.
Isn't it edited by Heather Antos, past guest?
The editor is Lisa Hawkins.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, so I think Heather joined. I think it was just she came on board when this was just about to come out. I think. And this was one that I just checked out, and I remember recommending, like, I think a first issue or something like that a few months ago, wasn't it? And this is absolutely fantastic book, and one that even if you're not au fait with the Valiant universe, you can definitely jump into. There's lots of fighting through history, and you know, lots of there's lots of action, carnage. It's bloodthirsty, and it is essentially the sort of origin of a character known as the Warmonger. Now, Tony, you're probably the most versed in Valiant out of all of us, I would probably say. Is Warmonger like a big character, like a villain character in the universe as it stands?
I'm trying to think in the old universe. I'm not sure. Mm. Recently, not a huge one, no.
Yeah.
She is
an immortal being known as Warmonger. And so you see how she sort of gets her powers. And one of her powers was she's got the ability to drive other people into violent rages. So she's been seen as a witch throughout history. So, and she's been hanging around with like the armies of Genghis Khan, and then ends up with Vlad Tepes, like essentially Dracula, but, you know, historical Dracula. So you're seeing that, and then towards the end of the series, she bumps into characters that you probably recognise, such as like the Eternal Warrior.
Oh, cool.
And is it Unity? Eternal Warrior is part of
Unity's kind of their Avengers, yeah.
Are they an ancient group that's been around for centuries?
No.
Because there is a large group. It seems like Eternal Warrior has been part of this group. This is where I'm going to say spoiler now, right? Okay, all people? Right. So, spoiler now. And do you mind if I talk about this, Tony?
No, go ahead, man. Yeah.
This character, Warmonger, she's an immortal herself, obviously. And
oh, so it's Archer and Armstrong and Ivar.
She discovers she's actually the sister of the Eternal Warrior.
Yeah, he's brother of Armstrong.
Okay, that's brilliant, because that was something I was wondering if that was sort of announced, because this comic ends with her meeting him at the right. end. So she's met one brother in time, and then in the modern world, she... Is it Archer or Armstrong? Which one's the dude with the beard?
Armstrong. Archer is an actual archer. Yeah.
So she meets Armstrong right at the end, and even though that's the end of the series, it feels like it's the beginning of something new happening in Valiant. And this, you know, those spoilers aside, for those bits, that if anything, I just wanted clarification on whether this was an actual thing in the universe, as it were.
Yeah, no, Gilad's, you know, they have a strange and strained relationship between the brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, because it ends with a spectacular scene where Armstrong answers the door. Does he live in New York?
I can't remember where it went to at the end of the last series. Yeah. He lives all over. They sort of travel around a bit.
And he opens the door, and in the back, they're sort of, in the background, there's sort of like a Times Square like scene of like a riot going on, and her there sort of saying hello, brother, and she looks like she's about to punch him in the face. So all that aside, I think this is a perfect series for people to check out if they don't know Valiant, because it's a nice historical epic as well. But she's a character that, and also just one of those characters who just doesn't give a fuck. You know, she's got
Armstrong, if anyone's trying to visualize him, is basically me in the Valiant universe.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And I think you should read this one, Tony.
I will too. I'm reading the most. I'm getting Bloodshot on XO and a couple of others. Life of Harada monthly, but I'll probably buy this in trade.
I think it will be a cracking trade. It's probably gonna be a trade very soon, actually.
Yeah, they come out quickly from there.
So definitely one for people to check out, because it also makes me want to sort of find out more about Eternal Warrior and things like that. Do you know what I mean? It's a nice sort of
Eternal Warrior.
I mean, we've talked about, you know, I'm now into the XO world and things like that, you know, finding out these sort of stuff. I've touched on Bloodshot a bit, but I know that's more Dan's flavour. Where stuff like this, I mean, Eternal Warrior had one of my favourite covers of fucking years a couple of months ago, which was a lovely painted cover, which I have to dig up.
Eternal Warrior, you were like, man, he's kind of this sort of, he's kind of an immortal cap for that universe, so he just fights non-stop for the universe. You know, he's an incursion, and I always think Valiant's a bit. It's a bit like they treat their characters like they're creator owned.
Yes.
You know, they're like Marvel characters, but creator owned.
Yeah.
So they let them go off on one, like the Unity series, and you know, and like Archer and Armstrong, and you know, they just let them go off and just be. I mean, Barry Windsor Smith in the old universe did Archer and Armstrong.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff, man.
I mean, I do feel like, you know, this is unexpected, because I didn't know so much about the universe, so going into it, it was brilliant sort of discovering that. I think this also shows another side to the Valiant universe, which is quite cool as well.
And it's fairly self-contained as well. You don't have to read loads of things to get it. Like, you can read Ninjak. Yeah. You don't need to read everything.
Yeah, and there were certain events that happened in this that when I saw them, I thought, I know that that's quite a major event.
Yeah, like the
happened.
Divinity stuff as well is kind of reached out. Yeah. That's
so I think it's all tying into everything that's happened, so... Yeah. Yeah, so definitely Forgotten Queen is definitely a recommend for me. Very impressive series. Cool character, because by the end of it, I liked it, even though she was a villain. So
yeah,
so that's always cool. So that's cool. My one. There you go.
Good. So we like RLC go.
Yeah, Rachel.
I would just generally recommend any of the little zines by Simon L. Reed. He's going to be at BAM, actually. Just giving him a bit of a plug there. He writes, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, he's a bloke, but he writes comics about J-Lo and party girls and like weird little boys who they're really sinister and weird and
like J-Lo,
they're amazing.
I quite like J-Lo.
There's one called Spicy Boy about somebody who's eaten too much spicy food and has to go to the shop and get some milk to drink and stuff. This is so really great. Weird. I love them. They're amazing, and I'd buy anything he does. So maybe you can write on the back of a fag packet, and I'll buy it. But but the other thing I really like, can I have another one?
Yep.
Of course, yeah,
I just want to say about the Fraser fanzine, which I really love.
The Puppunk by Emily and Fraser.
Yeah. I think everybody should have one of those because it's just amazing, and you know how much I like pop culture sort of stuff, and it was just the fact that she'd misunderstood that thought that Fraser fanzine was about Fraser Campbell and did her own fanzine about his tweets and sort of drew what she thinks to represent his tweets, and she did what Nini did where she said that she'd drawn them badly. But it's great. I think everybody should get that because it's good fun.
It took me about a month to realise that the Facebook friend I had called Janine is actually Nini, and I'd met her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's who we're talking about. That's
God bless the internet.
She works under the name Lily Sock Monkey, you see?
Right. Yeah, that makes it even worse, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, Nini, that's how I know her. That's what everybody calls her who's friends with her, so call her Nini if you're her friend.
Okay.
And she's Lily Sock Monkey as well. That's what she's her two little comic books that she's done, and for BAM she's they're by Lily Sock Monkey. But everybody buy Fraser fanzine.
I saw Emily at Glasgow. Emily and Gavin with a chuckle.
You always do with them.
Yeah.
Right, and Tony, take us home.
I'm going for a book called Mostly Water, which is by Stacey Thomas, which I bought at LCAF. I got a release at LCAF, actually. It's published by The Family Store. Has anyone heard of The Family Store?
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Oh, yeah. There you go. So is it just a shop in Brighton, in the Lanes in Brighton? Is that where you know of it? Or else
I just know it's a shop. I didn't know where it was, actually. Because I thought, that sounds great, because they seem to have really nice stuff. I just seen their posts on Twitter and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And it just looks like somewhere where you can sell nice things or where you can buy nice things.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, it really does. And they were opposite us at LCAF, and they stock our books, and they stock Avery Hill books and some other great publishers and stuff like that. And they sell sort of cool T-shirts and stuff like this. But I think they've started publishing books now, and Mostly Water is one of them. It's £7. It's a landscape, similar to the landscape book I reviewed last week. It's a limited color palette, so it's like a yellowy brown and a bluey gray and black and white. So it's that sort of limited color palette, which I kind of dig a lot of the time. I think when you're going to do stuff, do it like that. Sometimes it works better. A man wakes up to discover that he has turned into a cloud. He still has human form, kind of, but his head is in the shape of a cloud, and he has to wear gloves to stop the keyboard on his computer getting all wet and ruining it. And it just sort of happens to him, and he just sort of accepts that is what his life is going to be like now, and he sort of gets on with stuff. And he rings the local GP when he first discovers, and they sort of laugh at him and hang up. So he thinks, I'm going to just get on with this. He continues to go into work, and he's this normal sort of slightly depressed but often cheerful kind of everyday guy. But he gets sacked because his boss calls him into the meeting and says, look, I'm going to sack you. And he says, what is this, because I look like a cloud? You can't really help it. And he said, no, you were a week late for work the other day. And he says, because that's because he decided to have a bath, and he just sort of drifted into the water and disappeared, and he had to wait for the cloud to form again above the bath and stuff like that. And so he gets sacked, and he goes home, and he's got two frogs who've moved in with him because his house is always wet. And he says to them, no job, no prospects, and no corporeal form either. And he sort of thinks, what am I going to do in my life? And he sort of struggles with it all, and he finds a support group. So he goes along to this support group, and Clarice is there. Clarice is a star. Her head is in the shape of a star. Hattie is there. Hattie's she's a mountain. And she sort of sits next to him. And she's been feeling a bit low, which made me chuckle. Leonard, who is a lake, his head's in a fishbowl. But the people say, oh, he's just bragging. He's not really a lake. He's just a puddle. And Invisible Bernard, they're not even sure if he's there. And Bridget, who is an iceberg, and so on and so on and so on, sort of thing. And he begins to feel, at the end of this, he gets to be more aware of himself, and he begins to fit in to a group of people who are very different, but have this sort of strange sense of community. And it's got that sort of gentle comedy feeling about it, you know, that just, it's just a nice book. It just puts a smile on your face. And do you know what it is? I read it a couple of times. I read it again today with preparation. And I thought, this is just a book about different people living together and, you know, from different places. So this is a book essentially about diversity, isn't it? You know, but it's not super righteous and super, you know, right on, and it doesn't bang you over the head and it says, look at me, I'm writing about, you know, diversity. It's just a, like a nice book about people who are different discovering each other. And it raises a smile at the same time, and it's not too sugary or cutesy like a lot of these books fall into, you know. Yeah. And it's just this sort of cool little book. It's sort of landscape, DIY, small press kind of book. I would say it's, the cover's a little bit, doesn't really let you know what's inside the book. It looks like just someone's kitchen has flooded. So I thought, oh, it's mostly water. It's about someone's kitchen has flooded or something. And it's not. And it's completely not like that. And it's, but what she, what Stacey does is she crams a lot of work into each page. Some pages, even though it's like almost A5 in a landscape shape, it's got sort of 10, 12 panels on some pages of, you know, conversation and landscape and rooms and streets and, you know, group conversations and stuff like that. It's really well done. I really did enjoy it. It's you can get it from StaceyThomasMakes.com, or if you go to FamilyStoreUK.com. If you go to StaceyThomasMakes.com, there's loads of free comics on there. She's got a load of sort of web comics you can click on and read, which is always good. She's an Oxford-based artist who's recently graduated, or I think a year or so ago, from the University of Brighton. She's on Instagram at Stacey Thomas Makes. And as I say, Family Store is an illustration-based store in Brighton, in the Lanes, if anyone knows the hipster Lanes, stocking loads of great books. And they publish their own books, so good on them. You know, just sort of, it's just like a nice book. This is what I like to see in a small press. You know, I like to see something different, and this is what this is. There's no great shakes. There's no, you know, like long form graphic novel mood about it. It's just a fun book, which is kind of cool.
Lovely. We always need more of them as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And there's tons of fun books that we've talked about this week that we want you lovely listeners to check out. So we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Plenty on. I know. Of comments are going to be on the Facebook and the Twitter based on some of the stuff we've been talking about this week. So looking forward to that. But if you wanted to let us know about any events or anything coming up, or any new book signings or anything that you've got in the works, then you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod, where we announce guests, and sometimes we haven't done a Twitter poll in ages, so we'll have to do one of those. But yeah, stay tuned to the Twitter, because we'll be retweeting and announcing stuff quite a lot over the next few weeks, I think. And if you do the book of faces, then go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And if you just want to talk about comics, whether it be events, just making comics, just, I don't know, exhibitions or anything, and then you do Facebook, then join the group Awesome Comics Talk, because there's a fantastic group of people there, and we are being strict on people trying to just shamelessly just post a link for their Kickstarter without really getting involved in the group.
We had a run of that this week.
We're always up for more people joining the group, because the people that join end up having a great time, and we see loads of great conversations there.
Yeah. Mm.
And it has become a little community. Pretty nothing to do with us. It's down to the people that are actually on that group, which is fantastic. So we are endeavouring to keep the hard sales away, which we had to do a couple of times this week. So,
just a bit,
but yeah, we're looking after you, don't worry. Thank you for listening to us this week, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe and leave a review. It helps get the word out. Likewise, if you listen to us on other networks such as Spotify, which is how I listen to most of my podcasts these days, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
Pod Nut Magnet.
I knew it was going to come back. Damn it. How long have you had that written down in your notebook?
A couple of days.
Thought so. please do not ask what that means. Now, where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
S-A-S-E-Z-O-H-Y-Z or neveronanything.blogspot.co.uk. I put a post up about BAM, about what books I'll be bringing along. If there's any books you want you're not sure I'm bringing, then let me know, because I've got like a spare room full of No Brad books in my house at the moment, so which I sort of, and I can't bring them all on my trolley. So let me know if you want anything. And hopefully today when you're listening to this, there'll be an announcement about a release we'll be putting out there. So pay attention.
Nice. Yeah. Dan.
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Yes. Nice. He's absolutely smashing it at the moment.
I've been sending some of the page things in my little running total of the Project Hoax thing of how I'm getting on. So see I'm thundering through it.
You're absolutely smashing it, dude. Like,
mate, you're almost done there. What's going on?
I know, I've been really hitting
Are you on
it.
Drugs?
Yeah.
I've been working on the train into work, after work, during work.
work. Yes. No one, they don't listen to this anyway, do they?
No.
No one does. Yeah, who does? you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jester Diablo. You can find out more about my comic at theredmousefrommars.com. And Rachel Lee Carter, thank you very much for joining us this week. You've been an absolute star.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And
for
can I say one thing, Rachel? Touch my beard.
Oh.
Pardon?
Yeah. I live now. I can live.
If you come to BAM, we'll explain what that's about.
Oh.
Something happened there, Vince.
Something did happen. I'm not sure about it.
Rachel and her good husband, Dave, lent me a film recently. And in it, it's one of the worst films ever made, isn't it, Rachel, to be fair?
Oh, that's the...
Oh, it's fab! I'm but doing a comic bad. About that. Well, not a comic, a zine. I'm doing a zine about Alien Warrior.
Is that when someone comes back to life because of touching someone's beard?
Yeah, he just walks into this hospital room and goes, touch my beard.
And then amazing. He says to her, goodbye, pretty girl.
We've all said that.
Yeah.
That's one of Dan's classic lines, isn't it?
Yeah, goodbye, pretty girl. Keeps that before they wake up.
Yeah.
Or some refer to it, come too.
Yeah. But where can people find you on social media?
Me?
Yeah. Yes, you.
Me? Yes. Oh, at Tiny Noggin. That's on Facebook, that is. Yeah. Twitter. No, not Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. That's on Twitter, that is. At Tiny Noggin. Yeah. You'll find me there. I'm on Twitter most of the time. Yeah.
Well, hopefully you're working occasionally.
Got nothing better to do.
And once again, folks, thank you very much for listening. And if you're in the area, or please come down to BAM Comic Art and Zine Fair on the 13th of July at the Comedia Bar. Free entry, 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. And it's going to be a fantastic small press day. So, yeah, thank you very much for listening. Go forth. Get excited for the weekend. And we hope to see you there because, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please come up and say hello.
We might have like a cardboard cutout of Dan. Just
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I'd love
wouldn't
that.
It?
I'd love that.
Yeah.
Is it going to have the helmet on?
What? Pardon? Dan? Is there something you want to tell us?
It's not new on me.
The Viper helmet, you perv.
thank God. Thank God that was cleared up. I got really concerned then. But anyway, yes, we hope to see you there. Whoever you are, have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. From Dan, Tony, Rachel and myself, have a brilliant week. And what do they do, Dan?
Stay awesome.
Yes. Do you want to ruin it again, Tony?
Touch my beard.
There you go. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya. Bang.
And that's how you do it. That's how you cook a pie.
Talking about my knob looking brown in colour all the way through.
Oh, that is gonna that's gonna be a memorable episode, that one.
Oh, so it's brown all the way through. It's not just on
Well, I've never cut it open like this.
It's
rock.
It's like a dirty great pan of chocolate.
It's like an old cricket sock that's gone a bit brown in the wash.
It's like someone left a Greg sausage roll in a bath.
Christ.